Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are joined by the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunez.
Howdy.
Real quick, guys, just wanted to get this news out here. Kansas City, the Kansas City Police, this is from Dia Wall, who is an anchor and reporter for Kansas City, but it's being reported everywhere. 10 shooting victims today at the Kansas City Chiefs parade, multiple children being treated at Children's Mercy Hospital. Obviously, thinking great thoughts, thinking good thoughts, thoughts and prayers to all the victims and the victims' families involved. And we will keep you in the loop on how that story develops. But just a sad state of events for what should have been a really happy day and seemed like a happy day to start. This happened towards the end of the parade. So we are hoping that all of those victims pull through. We have, is this our last segment with you guys?
No.
One more.
We have two more.
Great.
One more after this.
Great. You know, sometimes we do bonus. Sometimes Frankie's got to go because he's got to watch the Yankees take batting practice.
Hey, it's first day of spring training.
Can we drag them into our prop talk and dog segment or no?
Is that too much? No, we got to let them go. All right. Frankie, by the way, Jorge Soler.
Yeah, I don't know why he.
We just hang out. You want to stay for drive, guys?
We could just do it. Okay. All right. My bad. I shouldn't be asking.
Where's the line here?
I stepped over. My bad.
Do not ask this stuff on air, Nate. Ask me off air.
You're right.
Jorge Soler. Frankie.
You're a Giants fan.
Oh, now
right?
You're doing baseball. Okay.
That's right.
Well, what? Nate, do you not like baseball?
No, I'm just saying Alan is a little bit of a hypocrite.
How so?
Jorge Soler, Frankie, how do you feel about the Giants signing Jorge Soler? Do they need one or
Nate
two more guys?
Nate will apologize after this for
Do they
for
need one or two
sorry.
More guys?
I'm not getting in the middle of this.
Yeah.
You guys duke it out off the air.
Jorge Soler, do they need one or two more guys? You like the signing?
I actually do like the signing.
Cool.
I do. And they haven't had a guy hit 30 home runs in 20 years.
Crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Watching Barry Bonds is like a 9-year-old. It's like they haven't had anyone since then.
That's right.
Come on,
right.
Man.
You know, our way.
They've had several guys have 29, though, which is kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Several guys have 29 home runs.
Because, Frankie, you're going
to
be doing some Giants coverage for the station as well. So, hopefully it's more exciting than it was last season. And, Chris, you said that you wanted to – there were a couple other
–
I know, Frankie, there were a couple other YouTube chats that had come through and just some things that you wanted to kind of break down as well.
Yeah, I want to ask these guys specifically about the one number that I cannot figure out with the Kings, and it's, Frankie, you'll know, this has been a problem with this Kings organization for years, especially in the bad times. Opponent three-point percentage. I don't understand. The Kings allow a league-high 39.8% to opposing teams from beyond the arc. For reference, the Los Angeles Clippers are first in the NBA at three-point percentage. They shoot 39.6%. So it's every single night the Kings are essentially going against the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, regardless of competition. Is that bad luck? Is that bad personnel? Is that bad schematics? What's your read on why the Kings cannot protect the three-point line?
I think it's a bit of everything. I mean, I think we all know the Kings have – I mean, we've been watching this group play defense for the better part of – I mean, it's almost been 2 years, or I guess one full year, I guess. But I think it might be a personnel thing first and foremost. Again, as far as the whole landscape of the Sacramento Kings as a franchise, going back to when we were, like, in high school –
I swear.
It feels like an opposing player has a career high or a team sits a season high every night. It feels that way. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if I were to go back and look year by year about where the Kings are in opponent three-point field goal percentage – I'd imagine they're 20th or worse in every single one of those years. That's kind of like a system thing. Like, it's deeply rooted in the system, in their DNA. How do you break out of that? Mike Brown has tried different things. I mean, they go to zone sometimes, right. But it always feels like they're a rotation short or someone's not where they need to be, and a guy's always just wide open. Just
wide open.
Planted like Royce O'Neal, completely wide open, ready to go. And again, a guy that you take away the guys that you think can hurt you the most, and that's great, but you can't discredit the fact that they're all NBA players. We've watched these guys shoot in practice. We watched JaVale McGee.
I was going
to
say.
Knocked down so many threes. I couldn't believe it. Like, yeah. Rashawn Holmes
used to.
Yes.
He used to knock them down.
All these guys are capable of just knocking down threes if they're wide open. And if you leave someone wide open, there's a good chance, better than not, they're going to make it. So Brendan might have a better. Like, I don't know, maybe not, but it's just a matter of, you think it's personnel? Like, I think it's personnel.
It's a weird one. I mean, it definitely has to do with personnel, right? Like, I think a lot of their defense is all this no middle and, like, the perimeter containment being so bad, I think just does cause a lot of rotations. There's a big emphasis on keeping teams out of the paint, limiting sort of their pick and roll defense that was right there with the league worst really last year. But you look at like the open threes that these other teams are taking, and on wide open threes, no defender within 6 feet, the Kings are giving up the about middle of the pack, 18 attempts a game, but teams shoot 42.7%, highest in the league. Nobody shoots better on wide open threes.
So is that bad
and
luck?
And that is straight luck.
Yeah.
Wide open threes is straight luck. They're giving up a right middle of the pack, right? But they're giving up 42.7%. Like, wide open threes is just straight luck. So there is an aspect here of they're getting a little bit unlucky. You know, you go to last year's numbers on these wide open threes, and it's slightly better as this takes a second to update. 39.7% that they gave up on open threes, but literally worst in the league when it comes to open threes. And that's, you know, that that is luck. Related a little bit, but I think that when you let guys get good looks, you let the wrong guys get good looks, then when they have good ones later, they feel even better. So it's not just all luck. There is a lot of personnel there, but it definitely is factoring in.
Yeah, I just can't figure it out. I mean, I'm blaming personnel. I think that it is an element of, you know, you try and protect the everybody tries to protect the paint while also protecting the perimeter. And if you don't have guys who have crazy wingspans, I mean, it's tough to get a hand in the passing lane and then at the same time recover on the outside to defend the perimeter. So I don't know. It's just been a number that's – it's really hard to – you're fighting an uphill battle, essentially, if every – again, every single night, it's as if you're going against the best three-point shooting team in the league. It doesn't matter if it's the Detroit Pistons or if it is the Clippers. They're going to knock them down. So I just don't know what you even do about that.
I'm looking at the last couple of just – where the Kings rank in opponent three-point field goal percentage? Last year, 24th. Year before that, 29th. Year before that, 27th. I'll go back one more just for laughs. Year before that, 25th. One more. Let's see if they can get in the top 15 one more time. Wait a minute. 10th in 2018-19.
Shout out Dave Yeager.
That was Dave Yeager.
39. Yeah.
39 wins?
That was the scores. That was the scores team.
Yeah.
They were here.
Well, and I'll say that part of it, the Kings give up the fifth least amount of shots within 5 feet, you know, and that's without a traditional rim protector. Mm. So I think that just goes to, like, they are trying to limit shots within
the
paint.
Rim. Right.
And that sometimes is going to mean that a Malik Monk or a Kevin Herter or a De'Aaron Fox is going to have to be that low man and rotate over. And then you're making, like, a tough cross-court pass that you're just hoping you have long enough to still make a good closeout. And you'd rather a, you know, decent closeout than somebody trying to get a layup at the rim. So I think that they're just more comfortable living with threes from opponents than shots at the rim without, like, the traditional rim protector on this roster.
Second thing I wanted to bring up is a lot's been talked about all season long, comparing this year's team versus last year's team, whether it be record or three-point shooting, whatever. But specifically with the record, all year it's been, hey, the Kings are at this point or have this record at this point in the season. I know it feels bad, but this is actually their record at this point last season, and it's a record that's very similar. Even now, you look at the All-Star break last year, the Kings were at the All-Star break 32-25. Right now, they are 30-23. The Kings, immediately after the All-Star break, played their best basketball. They go 15-5. I'm not counting the month of April where they went 1-4, and that was just a really weird month.
Yeah,
that
coasting
was
the playoffs.
A really strange
end. Top three was locked in.
It was already exactly. That's right. So they go 15-5 the first 20 games outside of the All-Star break. That really separated them and put them, as you say, in that three spot firm. What's our confidence level that the Kings can replicate a piece of that, because the Kings did have a tough strength of schedule. Looking at the opponents that they had to play coming out of the break last year, it was not easy. I mean, you had a Portland team that was still trying to decide which side they were going to fall on. They ended up tanking, and it kind of did start that night. You played the Clippers in the game of the year in the second game. You play two against OKC, then the Clippers again, T-Wolves, Pelicans, Knicks, Suns, Bucks. Like, they played really good teams exiting the break and still played really well. Do we feel that there's a good shot that this team has kind of been building up for this All-Star break? Frankie, I think you said it in the last segment. This week off really is going to be a ramp up to explode outside the gate, yeah?
And they're going to have to. I mean, and we've seen this team do it before. They are streaky. Like, as far as, you know, good and bad, they're streaky. They are going to have more. They're going to have another win streak. They're going to have another one. How long will it be, though? Will it be a three-game, like, short streak? Or can they do what they did last year and rip off another six-, seven-game streak? I think if they can do that again.
They exited the break, sorry, yeah, Petrov. Yeah. Five-game win streak.
Yeah, I mean, is it fair to expect that out of the break with the schedule they have? San Antonio, Clippers, Miami, Denver? Minnesota, I'd be very surprised. I'd be very, very surprised. But, I mean, there are going to be pockets in that schedule over this last couple of months that they should be able to put together a streak in a similar fashion, because they're going to have to if they want to finish in a top six spot. They can't keep playing this 500, win three, lose four, win two. Like, you have to get ahead of the pack. You have to go ahead and pull away. And if you don't, other teams will. Like, you'll see Phoenix, you kind of have them in a situation where they have the hardest remaining schedule in the NBA. Can you take advantage of that? Can you catch them? I'm looking at the April 12th game. That's a big game, depending on where things are in the standings. The Kings and Suns, when they play again, are going to be playing for, I mean, that's a tiebreaker. They're both a 2-2 because of that extra game in the in-season tournament. So I do think the Kings are capable of putting together a good stretch of play, but they got to look a little different than they do now. This inconsistent effort from the group that we're seeing, you can't take that into the final stretch, and you sure can't take that into a playoff series. You just can't.
All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, one more segment with our guys, Brendan Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli, as we discuss the buyout market and the future of the Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text 916-339-1140.
One more segment with our guys, Frankie Cardicelli, Brendan Nunes, Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. Brendan, it's time.
Is it?
We know the list is fluid, but let us know right here, right now, who the buyout market is, and we will discuss what it's looking like.
Yeah, it seems like some of these guys may end up staying on the teams they got moved to, but there's a lot of smoke on if they could or not go into this buyout market. But, I mean, we have to start with the highlight, Marcus Morris, right?
That's your boy. That's right. Look, guys, this is where this was always going to go. And no, did I have any sources on this? No, not really, but we see it now. You see the vision now, Frankie. Don't look at me like that.
What's the deal with this? When are you going to let it go?
I'm not
So is this the same thing with Chris and the Lopez? Because Chris, I literally was so happy when that notification popped up that the Kings got a Lopez twin.
No comment.
Only for him to be bought out. Because Chris's dream has been for the Kings to get a Lopez.
All I've ever wanted.
Is it your dream to have a Morris twin play for...
We just need a dog.
Okay.
We just need a dog. All right, Marcus Morris. But you think he did eye emojis somewhere?
I thought he did. I can go look for his Twitter, but he did post something at one point. I think it was about maybe not the Mavericks. He got traded for the Mavericks. I'll find it.
So, the Mavericks are just grabbing everyone that they can, huh?
Apparently. There are four guys. So Davis Bertans and Evan Fournier have played for their new teams, but there is speculation on if they could get bought out. It would make sense. Bertans with Charlotte and Fournier with the Pistons, teams that, you know, it could make sense to buy those guys out. So if you throw them, Marcus Morris, and Joe Harris into this grouping, all of those players were making above the mid-level exception prior to their buyout or potential buyout. And that leaves them ineligible to sign with any team above the first tax apron. So that's the Clippers, the Suns, the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Heat, the Bucks, and the Celtics. So you look at those four guys, because where Sacramento's going to struggle in the buyout market is a player has all the control here. Mm-hmm. Where do I want to go?
Yep.
And those four players are going to have a much more limited market out there. So, like, a guy like, you know, Joe Harris and even Evan Fournier a little bit do kind of interest me.
Come on. Come on.
Like, we're talking about, so Kings have a full roster right now after signing Keon Ellis, converting him to the standard deal, and Mason Jones, who sounds like he might be available for the first time for Sacramento tonight, by the way, going to that two-way.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So we'll see what that
means.
Probably
start.
Stop. Who's the guy, if you were to add somebody, so there's those four players, right, just to go down the list a little, Gallinari, Killian Hayes, Corey Joseph, Furkan Korkmaz, Thad Young just signed somewhere, I believe, Robin Lopez, Victor Oladipo, James Bouknight, Daniel House, Chimezie Metu reunion. So we're talking about these sort of guys. To me, if you were going to bring somebody in, I think the one on the outside looking in that you'd have to waive would probably be Kessler.
Yeah.
I think it's Kessler Edwards. And
could it be Duarte?
It could be Duarte.
JaVale's on a minimum deal. And if Len's playing center again.
They're not moving JaVale.
Not, I mean, not move. They'd be waiving.
They're not waiving JaVale.
I think you could, but I'd be surprised.
No way.
I'm just talking about from a financial, from a contract standpoint. He's on a minimum deal.
They take a picture of him almost every social media opportunity.
Well, it's been him and the Apple Vision. Yeah.
Like, is this team better with Joe Harris and Kessler Edwards? Does it make any difference? I think Joe Harris is better.
No.
Than Kessler Edwards?
Yeah. I mean, I just think Joe Harris is
I mean,
he has not been the Joe Harris that I think we think of Joe Harris in.
Right. He's gravity, though.
About five
That's
or
gravity,
six
gravity, though.
I don't think he is anymore. I really He's don't. Still gravity. I think Davis Bertans is the name to me. That's the most exciting one to me. You're talking about a three, really a four that can come in and, I mean, I remember him in Washington. He can light it up. Yeah, like, he is obviously a huge defensive liability, but, I mean, if Sasha's going to be out the rest of this year, I really think that's, like, the closest you're going to get. And you're getting some size. He's a dude who's been on some playoff teams. That's probably the name I would look at. Looking at his career three-point percentage, 39% from three on four and a half attempts. Like, that's a guy that I think could – could impact things.
He got paid and then kind of just got sent to the bench, right?
Yeah, he got paid big
time. And then just kind of like, you're good. You're done.
I'm trying to find his contract. Yeah, he got paid by Washington. He signed, what was it? It was a three-year deal for about $16 million a year.
Woo! Wild.
That's
insane.
That's a good amount of cash.
Yeah, it's insane.
I do kind of like Daniel House. He's definitely interesting to me. 6'6", you know, he's a little older than you think, 30 years old, has played for a couple different teams. He almost makes me think of like kind of a discount Royce O'Neal, you know?
And, a discount Royce O'Neal.
I don't think, which, you know, is saying something.
That's a crazy statement.
It is. It is.
But that's where we're at now.
That's what you're talking about in the buyout market.
Yes, exactly. You know?
But he's one of those guys where I'm like, I don't think I'd pick Sacramento if I was him. Unless there's some promise of playing time. That's Sacramento's only advantage here in these talks.
Before we even take this buyout conversation any further, can we think of, off the top of our heads, a team who made a deep playoff run that you can remember? Man, when they got blank off the buyout market, that really turned their season around. Or not turned their season around, but that really elevated them. Because we do this every season, and it's not just Kings fans.
Mainly it's with really good teams. That's the problem. It's like buyout market is almost exclusively for the top three teams in the NBA.
I don't have it in front of me, but I would bet money that the 2020 Lakers had someone they brought in from a buyout, and he played. I don't know who or what. I can go look it up, I guess. But
Anderson Varejao for the Warriors.
Yeah, didn't he? Right. Didn't he get bought out? They lost to the Cavs.
Yeah, he was going to get a ring either way.
Yep. He played the lifelong deal with the Cavs. Yep. Gets bought out, goes to the Warriors, plays the Cavs, loses. That's pretty funny.
So some notable ones from last year: Kevin Love gets bought out from the Cavs and goes to Miami.
Yep, that was big.
Mm. Russell Westbrook gets bought out with the Lakers goes to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Pat Bev, don't remember where he got bought out from, but ends up going to the Bulls.
Was it the Timberwolves?
That's different.
I think so.
Or traded, then bought out from every team. The Timberwolves traded him. He's been traded.
He's a brand now. That's different.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
He's a brand.
What does?
He's not a normal buyout guy.
What do you? A brand. What do you mean?
He's not a normal buyout guy.
God.
Russell Westbrook, Pat Bev. These aren't normal buyout guys. You know what I mean.
But they're buyout guys.
Literally, no idea what you mean.
But they're specific situations.
You're asking what buyout guys have impacted deep runs, and Brendan is telling you.
Right, but
there's no huge standouts here, though. Really,
but they still didn't. Well, yeah, because Pat Bev,
like a PJ Dozier, like a guy that is lesser known than
and Westbrook, they didn't really do. It's more showing itself this season. than last season, Westbrook?
I mean, I've gone back a couple years now. I'm on 2021, and there's, like, you go back 2021. Blake Griffin went to the Nets. LaMarcus Aldridge went to the Nets. Andre Drummond to the Lakers. You know, Jeff T goes to the Bucks. Ben McLemore goes to the Lakers. Like, typically, these are buyout years.
It's funny how it's always the Lakers.
J.R. Smith. Lakers. Right. Buyout. Went to the Lakers. 2020.
J.R. Smith. Professional golfer.
He is a professional golfer. He is collegiate. Professional collegiate golfer. He's getting the NIL.
So basically what we're saying is that this buyout conversation, we can save our breath.
Yeah.
No one's going to walk that door that is going to, quote unquote, save or alter the future of the Sacramento, the 2023-24 Sacramento Kings. I'm happy to be wrong about that. I just don't think anyone's going to come in, Marcus Morris included.
I was going
to
say.
That is going to save
a little bit different of a
anything. It's going to be the guys that are on the roster. You need more from the guys who are underperforming. De'Aaron Fox, underperforming right now. Keegan Murray, underperforming right now. Other guys that need to step up, like Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, consistency, find it again. Domantas Sabonis is doing historic things every night. You can't keep wasting them. Like last night, I couldn't help but feel like I couldn't help but go back to those DeMarcus Cousins days where we're watching him do his historic things every night. And they're in losses. Because like last night, the fact that we couldn't take and pick apart what Sabonis did because of how historic and great it was, because you know the narrative around it's going to be, well, it's in a loss, it doesn't matter. That's disappointing. It's the buyout market's fine. It's fun. The guys in the locker room, the guys on this team are going to be what determines, you know, where they are right now. There's no one else that's going to come in and make that much of a difference. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
Before we get you guys out of here, I want to ask you, looking at the injury report for tonight, Jamal Murray with his tibia is questionable, as is KCP. I believe both of them missed the last time these two teams played. They're questionable, but I guess there was Michael Malone went on Denver radio yesterday and said he would be surprised if either of those two played today. Oh. Does that make you feel better or worse about the Kings' chances of winning the basketball game today?
Did Jamal play on Friday? Didn't he play? I think
I can't remember.
KCP didn't play.
Michael Porter Jr. That's who it was.
I think it doesn't matter. I think when you look at Denver, they are where they are. I mean, they have guys to get it done. If I'm not mistaken, Reggie Jackson had a pretty good game a couple months ago when they played in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. They have a guy named Nikola Jokic who could probably win a game on his own. They have what it takes. They have the depth to beat the Kings. We've seen the Kings lose to a lot worse. We've seen them lose to a lot worse. So definitely not a game you can look at lightly. I think this is a game if the Kings can take it and go into the break, you feel really, really good about where they are. Just having that kind of cushion, having that kind of game to build off of. I think that this is going to be a test no matter who's on the floor for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, obviously having more guys out there I think is going to help Denver. Like having KCP on De'Aaron Fox instead of Peyton Watson, I think is a pretty big difference, right. Even if I think like Peyton Watson has been pretty solid for them. So I think having those guys will definitely help. I think Denver's going to have a little bit of energy tonight too. You know, that they probably want some get back after what the Kings did to them earlier in this season. And now the Kings are on the second night of a back-to-back. Tables are kind of turned here in home for Denver. So super big game. And I will say that, you know, I think a lot of people have been pointing out the difficult strength of schedule for the Kings. The opposite side of it, you win some of these games, you're going to feel pretty good.
Right.
So I think they could feel pretty good going into the All-Star break if they can scrap this one out. And it's not going to be an easy battle, obviously, but I think they could pull it off.
Quick note, to feel a little better about it. I know it's a while ago, but the person that wanted us to say, what can we say to make them feel better? The Denver Nuggets, their worst three-point defense this year has been against Sacramento Kings. The Kings have shot 48%. Against Denver. And that's the Kings' also highest three-point shooting mark against any opponent this year. So,
you hear that, Keegan?
48%.
Put them up. Thank you to Brandon Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli. Go check them out, sacktownsports.com. Also, check them out on their socials. We will talk to you again next week, fellas.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Got to get to a break. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thank you to the Kings Insiders. Brandon Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli. Go check out all of their outstanding content on sacktownsports.com. Also on their personal socials. They are at the practices. They are at the games. They are at all of the media availability to keep you in the know on what's going on with Sacramento Kings.
And Stockton.
And Stockton.
Me and Brandon went to a Stockton game the other day, man.
This man, Chris, gets back from Vegas and went straight to a Stockton game.
I did.
And he's texting me. I'm thinking, dude, because we had a little issue with our bags.
Only a 30-minute drive.
A little issue.
30-minute drive to Stockton. And I'm texting Chris, and I'm, you know, saying, hey, man, I'm just going to wait, grab our bags, whatever it is. Ended up being a longer wait than I anticipated. And Chris says, I'm on my way to Stockton to check out the Kings, just grinding film.
Yeah, you know.
Just grinding tape.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
I would heavily recommend anyone who
hasn't been out
of
Stockton. What's up with this kid, Slauson? It looks like he's pretty nice. What's going on there?
He's a big hustle guy, for sure. He's still developing down in the G League, for sure. G League will do him wonders. He's got some... He's a little rough around the edges. He needs some molding, for sure. He's got an attitude to him, and I think that's something that, you know, we've seen this Kings team could probably use a little bit of edge. And we've seen it even when he's been called up in practices. Like, he'll talk trash to dudes on the sideline, or he's at the free throw line and Malik's chirping at him from the side. He'll turn around and say, watch this. So, you know, he's got a little moxie to him, and I think that can take him a long way, because I think that's kind of his niche in the NBA. If he's going to be an NBA player, it's probably going to be like I kind of told Brendan this. What was the example I said? I said, like, what did he say about Royce O'Neal? He said essentially I said he's a poor man's James Johnson.
Yes.
His role would be. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
Like, James Johnson's kind of the role where it's a physical presence. He's not going to wow you with any of his skills, but it's going to be all the dirty work, all the defensive grit, intensity, that kind of stuff is how he's going to impact the game.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you know, you talk about the health, and the Suns lose Bradley Beal again last night, but Chimezie Metu, he was a guy who was getting real minutes.
Yeah.
Real minutes for the Suns. One of the times that the Kings have played the Suns, which they still play the Suns one more time.
Unfortunately.
By the way. But yeah, I mean, life comes at you fast, and... You know, yeah, I think it was great to kind of end our time with the Kings insiders, just reading off all of the buyouts in the past. And, you know, yes, there are some brand names that these situations were a little bit different with Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook. But for the most part, these aren't guys that are going to, you know, be a savior in any type of way.
I mean, there's a reason they're getting bought out.
Yeah. Kevin Love was a surprising one, though.
No, for sure. And I think that had more to do with he wanted to go to, I think it was a mental health thing as well, but I think he wanted just kind of a change of scenery and to go to a situation where Kevin kind of felt like he wanted to win a title.
He was in Cleveland for a long time.
Long time, yeah. He was there.
I remember firing it up when they're playing whoever, just thinking, oh, he's still there.
I mean, Kevin Love got traded for Andrew Wiggins his rookie year. Yeah. That's how long he has been in Cleveland for. He's seen it all there. So, yeah. It was time for a change, for sure.
All right, prop talk. Let's get it going. And I'm just going to tell you guys right now.
Hot.
I'm doubling down. Okay? Keegan took two threes yesterday. Okay.
Thought you were going Kevin Herter there.
Wait, I'm going to let's recap yesterday. Recap yesterday.
It's not great.
Allen Stiles took a page out of Nate's book and went all or nothing. Sabonis, 3-point field goal attempt. Or, I'm sorry, 3-point field goals made.
Yeah.
He took one early.
It was
wide open, and I was like, this is it.
This is it.
It's either this or it's not happening. He bricked it. Unfortunately.
There's no way you're taking another
one. Yeah, he was not going to take another one. He finishes with zero threes. I had Malik Monk over 17.5. He definitely got over that. Now has had 20-plus points in 6 of his last 7 games. Nate barely missed out. He took the over Kevin Durant, 29.5 points. KD finished off with 28. So just barely missed out. Just barely, Nate.
So you're the only one.
I'm the only one.
Is there
no
one?
I wanted to recap.
Yeah, exactly. You just snuck that in there. Nobody asked for a recap.
Well.
You know, another crazy night for Malik Monk where he scored, 22 points?
Yeah.
And went 0 for 5 from 3.
Right.
How does that happen?
How many times did he get to the line?
Not many, if he must he gone to the line. He made 9 shots, so he went to the line 4 times, or he made 4 free throws. I think is that right?
Interesting.
I think I'm doing quick math there. Yeah, I don't have the box score.
Well, I am Malik Monk related when it comes to prop talk. So should I just get into it?
Get into
Absolutely.
I'm thinking Malik Monk. I'm seeing 21.5 points, rebounds combined. And I'm smashing the under on that. I'm going for a little bit of regression tonight. It's not a shot against Malik or anything like that. That's just what I'm feeling. I'm feeling Malik, 21.5 points, rebounds combined. Take the under. That's what I would.
So 21.5?
Yeah, I thought. Okay. Yeah. I didn't think he would do what he did last night. If you want to double down, go ahead, double down. I am going to go with Keegan Murray. 1.5 threes. There's just no, you just have to take shots. There's no way that happens.
I bet he gets a nice talking to from Mike Brown because he's done that before.
That's
last year he was getting on his case about not shooting enough.
Earlier this year.
You know what's really funny? Earlier you talked about how he was doing the pump fake and driving to the basket.
Yeah.
He lectured Trey Lyles on that.
Yeah, he did.
There was a big thing about telling Trey Lyles, like, hey, the tape. When we would watch you play when you were in Denver, the tape on you said, this guy's going to pump fake you and drive. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of gone through this rigmarole with Trey Lyles before.
Right. Yeah. And I just can't see Keegan only taking 2 threes tonight.
Well, it's make, isn't it?
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Gotcha. He took 2
he
last
only
night.
Took 2. And right. One was in transition. It was a brick and a half.
It was really bad. And I think the other one was at the end of the game, and it was not close either.
Yeah. It could be completely wrong. He could still be in the middle of his cold streak.
Sure.
But, you know, as
1.5 Frank, is low. That's as low as it's ever going to get.
That's not going to get lower than that.
Because, it's a value proposition. Almost.
Yeah. And Frankie, as he so beautifully said, that the shooting percentages, the three-point shooting percentages against the Kings, the Nuggets have struggled. It's pretty high. So I'm rocking and rolling with Keegan.
I am going to go with I'm going to try and logic this out, which probably means it's not going to work. But I'm going to go under De'Aaron Fox rebounds. It's set at 3.5. Last night he had 9. And I just feel like that's tipping the scales too far in one direction.
For rebounds?
For rebounds. 3.5 is what it's set at.
Huh.
The games before last night, De'Aaron had 4 against Cleveland. He had 3 against Detroit. He had 2 against Denver last time. He had 1 against OKC. And then, last night had 9. So I feel like that 9 is doing a lot of pushing.
So it's set at 3.5?
Set at 3.5. So I got to go De'Aaron 3 or less rebounds. I'm going to go
I like that. We're all kind of negative today. I mean, you're not really, Alan, but.
No, yeah.
I think we all have a similar mindset, really.
Yeah, well,
and
I kind of
hope we're wrong. Not you, obviously.
Well, I got to stay away from De'Aaron because whenever I pick him.
Right.
Yesterday, how many threes did he have? 7 or something like that?
He made 5. I think he was 5 of 12 from 3 yesterday.
I would probably 5 of 12.
Which one do we like the most out of these 3?
I like Allen's a lot.
I think
Allen's would be my lock if I had to pick one.
Okay.
Lock it in, Keegan.
Let's lock in Allen's.
Keegan. 1.5.
All right, we're locking in.
1.5 threes. There you go. All right. Dog segment. Let's get it.
Real quick?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you know, anytime Sabonis is going against, you know, Jokic, I gotta look at that matchup.
You do this every time.
I do, but, you know, it worked like, hey, I'm going to toot my own horn. Forget it. We're just going to blow over the fact that I quite literally said Domantas Sabonis was going to get a 20, 15, and 10 triple-double. I called it. I where's the audio? Where's the cut?
Cut it.
I'm just saying.
Cutty.
Sabonis this season against Denver has averaged 17 points, 16 rebounds, 8.5 assists, 51% from the field, 50% from 3. I'm going Sabonis.
Yep. That's a great call.
Come on.
I'm going to ride with my pick from Prop Talk. I'm going to go with Keegan Murray. He has a bounce back game because I was pretty hard on Keegan today.
You picked Keegan yesterday.
I'm doubling down.
Double dip. Double down.
Trey Lyles yesterday who got a DNP.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, by the way.
That's negative points.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. We got to get to break. But my dog is going to be Mr. Suit and Tie Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
That's plain and simple.
All right. Harrison's been quiet lately. He can get get back going and get these shots going, if you will, because he has not been putting up as many shots as he has in the past. All right, get into a break. When we get back, crosstalk, crossover with the Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
As promised, it is time. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Daniel Tosh at Hard Rock Live April 12th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Hotline, Honda Hotline, right now, looking for caller number. Whitey, give us a number.
Number 7.
Lucky number 7 to score that pair of tickets. Check out Daniel Tosh. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. Looking for caller number 7-916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Did you watch Tosh.0 back in the day? It's your chance, thanks to Live Nation.
Brendan caller, and Frankie, what you think? You think they watched Tosh.0?
Definitely Frankie.
I think Frankie did. Yeah, I can see Frankie. Brendan being like a, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly. Brendan was laying down beats. He didn't have time now. He didn't have time to get that going. 916-339-1140. Looking for caller number 7. It's your chance to see Daniel Tosh, as Nate will take care of that. Thank you, Nate. Whitey Gleason joins us from the Drive Guys. Whitey, hey. LeBron James to the Warriors. What could have been, huh?
Who do you think leaked that? How do you think it is?
And
we know
why
that?
Did it leak, as the Warriors are now playing well?
It was had to be either LeBron or the Lakers.
Why?
Because if it's LeBron, it's like, see, I want to stay here and other teams want me, and you know, I'm not gonna go do what KD did. And if it's the Lakers, it's like, see, other teams wanted him, but he wanted to stay here. The Warriors have no reason to leak it.
It's a good point.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the Daryl Morey factor too. I don't know if you saw that apparently Daryl Morey called on all the Phoenix guys, all three of them, Beal, KD, and Booker, but also, I guess, after LeBron tweeted out his eyeball emojis, or the, I think it was an hourglass emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess Daryl called in to the Lakers for that as well.
Wow.
I don't know what it does feel like those are probably coming from LeBron, yeah?
I mean, it makes the most sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do you feel, too, about, we were talking about, you know, Bronny and how he might impact all of this. Like, that ship has sailed, right? Like, we don't have to spend time on Bronny James. You know, the Warriors might draft Bronny James and try and get him recruited.
My understanding is, you guys may know better than I, but I believe he doesn't have to make a decision on his option until after the draft.
LeBron, you're talking
about.
Yeah. Correct.
So that's definitely going to be a thing.
I don't know.
I can't stand it.
I really hope that Bronny doesn't feel forced to come out in the draft, because I haven't watched a ton of his games, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he is.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like he's ready.
Yeah, I hope on some level his dad does have Bronny's best interest at heart. His right. dad should know. You know, you're not ready. So,
or the argument is, it's not really going to make a difference anyway, so you might as well
now,
come out
guys,
now.
Yeah, guys are drafted when they're so young. It's like, maybe he's not ready, but he's going to be ready, and you want to get him now. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
He, in 2024, Bronny has played 16 games. He is averaging 20 minutes, and he's averaging 5.8 points, 2.6 assists, and 3 rebounds on 20 minutes.
Is he better than Killian Hayes right now?
Ooh. Well, according to LeBron, his kid is a lot better than a lot of
That's
the fools
true.
Running around in the NBA.
Did Killian get picked up?
Be one of them.
I don't believe so.
No, he did not.
Man. See, that's why.
Are you all right?
Yeah, no, you sound really broken up about Killian Hayes not, you know, nobody picking up a 35% shooter.
I mean, I don't know if he got a fair shake, you know?
He did it. He's terrible.
Him and James Booknight, you know, it's just
right.
like. How do you just...
James Booknight, that's another one. That's another
it
one.
It definitely is another one. That's
sure. But this is what I'm. But this is what I'm saying, though. This is why it's hard for me to, I guess, get on the Kings about Davion too bad. I just feel like there's a lot of misses that happen in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Davion being a ninth overall pick.
But what does it have to
pick?
Do with Davion? I don't know. Where.
Because Davion is at least an NBA player.
I know, but how does his name even come into this conversation about Killian Hayes?
Because Killian Hayes is done. He got released, yeah. And he was the number seven pick.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that it doesn't really feel like as much of a
miss?
Whiff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a whiff. I mean, he's playing. But some of those, you're right. I mean, there are some. Yeah, that's
and
fun
how
to go
was
over
Book
any draft now? And then you find the guys.
Right after. Book Knight was right after.
Well, there you go, right?
Yeah. Whitey, I'm curious. Nate gave us a breakdown of how he's going to spend his Valentine's Day. Nate's a great boyfriend, by the way. If you haven't heard
Nate,
it, definitely go back and hear
we
what
we don't
Nate,
have time.
Do you have any advice out there for us young pups who are young in this love game? Like, is there...
I'll just tell you this. You know, this is going to be kind of a quiet Valentine's Day, but the celebration actually will be this weekend when we travel to Point Reyes.
Wow.
For a weekend, President's Day weekend getaway, which my wife arranged.
There you go. There you go. You have the Drive Guys up next. Not only are they getting you ready for the Nuggets game, also some more life advice and love advice from Whitey Gleason. There you go. Styles and Watkins. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli, Brandon Nunes, Nate Littlefield. Styles and Watkins, hopefully the Kings tonight in Denver can secure the bag. Light the beam.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.